We knew that our minority students, a lot of them, were doing well, says Richard Lempert, one of the authors of the Michigan study. I think our expectation was that we would find a half or two-thirds full glass, that they had not done as well as the white students, but nonetheless a lot were quite successful. But we were completely surprised. We found out that they were doing every bit as well. There was no place where we saw any serious discrepancy. What Lempert is saying is that by the only measure that a law school really ought to care about, how well its graduates do in the real world, minority students aren't less qualified. They're just as successful as white students. And why? Because even though the academic credentials of minority students at Michigan aren't as good as those of white students, the quality of students at the law school is high enough that they're still above the threshold. They are smart enough. Knowledge of a law student's test scores is of little help if you are faced with a classroom of clever law students. Let's take the threshold idea one step further. If intelligence only matters up to a point, then past that point, other things, things that have nothing to do with intelligence, must start to matter more. It's like basketball again. Once you're tall enough, then we start to care about speed and court sense and shooting touch. So what might some of those other things be? Well, suppose that instead of measuring your IQ, I gave you a totally different kind of test. Write down as many different uses that you can think of for the following objects: a brick, a blanket. This is what's called a divergence test, as opposed to a test like the Ravens, which asks you to sort through a list of possibilities and converge on the right answer. It requires you to use your imagination and take your mind in as many different directions as possible. With a divergence test like this, there obviously isn't a single right answer. What the test giver is looking for is the number and the uniqueness of your responses. And what the test is measuring isn't analytical intelligence, but something profoundly different, something much closer to creativity. Divergence tests are every bit as challenging as convergence tests, and if you don't believe that, I encourage you to pause and try the brick and blanket test right now. Here, for example, are answers to the uses of objects test collected by Liam Hudson from a student named Poole at a top British high school. Brick: to use in smash and grab raids, to help hold a house together, to use in a game of Russian roulette if you want to keep fit at the same time. Bricks at 10 paces, turn and throw, no evasive action allowed. To hold the eiderdown on a bed, tie a brick at each corner, as a breaker of empty Coca-Cola bottles. Blanket: to use on a bed, as a cover for illicit sex in the woods, as a tent, to make smoke signals with, as a sail for a boat, cart, or sled, as a substitute for a towel, as a target for shooting practice for short-sighted people, as a thing to catch people jumping out of burning skyscrapers. It's not hard to read Poole's answers and get some sense of how his mind works. He's funny. He's a little subversive and libidinous. He has a flair for the dramatic. His mind leaps from violent imagery to sex to people jumping out of burning skyscrapers to very practical issues like how to get a duvet to stay on a bed. He gives the sense that if you gave him another 10 minutes, he'd come up with another 20 uses. Now, for the sake of comparison, consider the answers of another student from Hudson's sample. His name is Florence. Hudson tells us that Florence is a prodigy with one of the highest IQs in the school.